Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, it's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back into your homes once again. This is Lloyd and Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood, just reaching the world for Christ. Our subject today is death and life in the power of the tongue, or in the powers of the tongue. So I want you to tune in and call in with us. Call in on 310-742-1759 and be a part of the service. Just worship the Lord in spirit and truth with us. That's 310-742-1759. So call in and be a part of this with us. And so we'll just worship the Lord in spirit and truth all together. So 706, go ahead and call, tell us who you are there and where you're at.
Brother Yearwood, it's Trina Litchfield in Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise the Lord there, sister. Glad you called in there. So we'll just have a good time on your about the Lord this evening.
That's right.
So anybody else out there want to call in on 310-742-1759, why, go ahead and call in. We'll put you right on the line here to the whole world with us there. And we'll just tell somebody the good news about Jesus. So go ahead there, sister, and just obey the Lord there.
Well, let me do a prayer request for us and get those, because I got I talked to my mom today, and I didn't know she had pneumonia. So let's put Joyce Gerke on the prayer list, and I was on Facebook today, and I got three from Facebook that needs prayer too. Barbie Corley, Steve Pettis Sr., and Pat Jones. Pat just had surgery, so she's still recuperating. But the other two has got some needs, and so we need to put them on there. My mom, I want to pray for her that everything comes out okay, and we'll have her here for a little while longer.
Okay. Well, now, what was that first one that you give? What was her name or their name there?
The first one was my mom, Joyce Gerke, Barbie Corley, Steve Pettis
Corley.
Senior. Corley is her last name.
Okay. Sister
Steve
Corley.
Pettis Senior. And Pat Jones was the last one.
Okay.
And let's also remember Robin. One of the members from the church, she went to the heart doctor today, and they got her on some kind of monitor or something, so let's keep her in prayer, too.
Okay. All right. All right. 770, go ahead and tell us. Are you through there, sister?
I'm through.
Okay. We'll get you on there just in a second. Let me get Brother John in there and let him tell us who he is and where he's at there. Go ahead there, Brother John.
Yeah, this is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia. It's a privilege and an honor to be with all of you tonight. We just praise the Lord what he's doing, what he's going to do. Amen.
Amen. You got any prayer requests,
Brother John?
we've got, with what Frieda gave. We've got two or three that's, I have a granddaughter and a daughter-in-law is doing a lot better, but we've got some flu running around down here and also some a stomach virus. There's stomach virus and diarrhea going around, brother, so let's just remember all these that, you know, one of them is my granddaughter. She's been sick for about 3 days. And let me see, trying to see some of the others that we had to cover. Let's remember that those that are in the before the storm, where there was devastation in these different countries by the typhoon, and let's just really remember all these families and these loved ones, and where they've lost their loved ones. And I might have a little bit more. I've got them here and there. In fact, I think I got my other prayer book still out in the car. So, but let's just remember all these and just remember the broadcast and the lost loved ones and things like this, bro.
Okay. Well, what about Sister Deb? How's she doing?
She's having some trouble with her back right now. She's in pretty severe pain with her back right now. Right before I called you, that was one of the reasons why I didn't get on right at the first. She needs prayer. Yeah, she needs prayer.
Okay. Well, we'll be a remember them then. We'll let Betty go ahead and read these prayer requests to Auburn. You got any more?
I just remembered, Brother Earwood. There's a woman by the name of Tanya, and also a woman by the name of Laurel, and a woman by the name of Barbara. This Tanya is the granddaughter. Barbara is the daughter, and Laurel is the grandmother, the mother of Barbara. But all three of those have to have surgery. And three generations that need to have. I think Tanya had her had gallbladder surgery. I'm not really sure what Barbara's problem is or Laurel's problem is, but both of them need prayer. They're having they're facing surgery.
Okay. All right. Is that all the ones you got there now?
I've got some more, but I'll. We'll present them a little bit later on the broadcast.
Okay. Sister Frieda, you got any more?
One. I got a praise report, too. Well, sort of a praise report. I talked to my aunt today, and we had on one of our prayer list, her name is Katie, I think it was. It was a pastor's daughter in Zebulun. She's got Hodgkin's. I think it's Hodgkin's. You know what I'm talking about. And so they're fixing to start her. I don't know if it started yesterday or not, but she's got to go through 6 weeks of chemo. And after the 6 weeks, they're going to evaluate her again. Yeah. I think that's all.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and let Betty read these over then, and we'll pray for them there then.
We need to all remember all these people. We've got a lot of urgent prayer requests here. And if it was our family, we'd want them to be praying. So let's all remember these people. We got an urgent prayer request. Charlie and Charity Reagan, they're in need of water. Something happened to their well yesterday, and they have an 8-year-old boy that's in a wheelchair, crippled, and has a feeding tube, and he still wears diapers, so they're desperately needing their water. So let's remember them tonight. And Martha and Roy Sexton need healing. Louisa has cancer. Remember her. Antonio is paralyzed, had a stroke. Martha Garcia, which is Tony that comes on the broadcast with us, it's his mother. She's still in the hospital, been in there since last week. And she needs a miracle. Willie Torres is having stomach pain. Fred Brannon, Keith Green, and Edith Hampton have cancer. They need a miracle. Debbie Samples, remember her with her back. And Eddie Bolton needs a miracle in his back. And Ezekiel needs prayer. And I have 7 brothers that need to be saved. Remember them. Remember Kenneth Parker tonight. He's in the hospital. And Sister Marilyn Harrell's in the hospital. Brother Paul Fritz is a pastor of Church of God down here. He just got out of the hospital, and he's real weak. Kevin Miller family. Remember the people that was in the typhoon, like Brother John said. And we have two foster kids coming into the home this weekend, so remember us and them as well. And remember Sister Frida's mother and all these other requests that they have put down for prayer.
Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer and just pray for them. Brother John, would you want to lead us out there in prayer and pray for them? Praise. Brother John? Praise.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, let's just go ahead and pray for them. I don't know where Brother John's at there right now. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come in agreement right now, Father. Lord, we lift up each and every one of these prayer requests. Lord, we just ask you, Father, Lord, that you'll just touch them, God. Lord, that you will minister to each and every one of them. Father, Lord, that you will do the what you need to do. Father, you know how to work on them. God, we just ask you, Lord, that you will meet each and every one of them's need, God, that you'll work on them in your own special way. And, Father, you said by these stripes they are healed. And, Lord, you've heard all these prayer requests called out. Lord, we just ask you, God, that you'll reach down. Lord, that you will touch them and meet their needs right now, Father. In Jesus' holy name we thank you. And, Lord, we just ask you, God, that you'll meet the radio broadcast. Lord, that you will touch them, God. Lord, that you will move, Father, up on each and every listener out there, God. And, Lord, that you will meet every need, God, that they have, Lord. And we give you the Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all, God, in Jesus' holy name. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Here's a praise report. I want to let Betty read. And
we've been praying for a brother by the name of Randy Richardson that went to the hospital last week, and he was told that he had a mini stroke. They done an MRI on him, and the doctors came in and told him that they saw something on his brain. So they done a MRA, and they said that 79% of his right artery in his neck was blocked, 40% blockage above the ear in his head, and two arteries in the back of his head were 100% blocked. The doctors done an ultrasound on Randy's heart, and everything come out okay there. And Randy saw the blockage on the ultrasound to his brain and everything, so he knows that it was there. And then Randy asked everybody to pray for him, and he took two prayer cloths and laid them on the bed where he was laying and put his head on them. And he said they done the heart catheter on him and shut the dye in his heart and in his brain. And a little African lady that was working there, he had asked if he could bring his prayer cloth into the room with him, and the little African lady didn't understand, and she said, "What are these white cloths?" And he told them that they were prayer cloths, that people had prayed over them and that he wanted to keep them with him. So they agreed to let him keep them with him. So he got to witness to that little lady. And they done some more tests on him. And the doctors came back and told Randy that he just had a blockage in his head, but it was 79% and 40% blockages. The 40% and 79% blockages were gone. The only blockage that he had left was the 100% blockage, and the doctor said not to worry about that blockage in his head, told him that he didn't need no surgery or nothing. But Randy said to continue to pray for him, and he wanted everybody, he wanted to thank everybody for praying for him.
Amen. That's just like God, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay, Sister Rita, since you called in our first while, we'll let you go ahead and obey the Lord, then we'll get Brother John on there.
Well, I want to do a praise report, too. I just thought of this one. I had to do a mammogram around the 5th of November, and I finally got the results this past weekend, and I am cancer-free. So I want to praise the Lord for that.
Thank
you,
Lord.
All right, well... Brother John, you sure you don't want to go first? Because I got a whole chapter I'm going to read.
Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to be coming from Proverbs 15. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge all right, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproofs is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight.
Amen.
The ways of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he that loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hath reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go into the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herds where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. The ways of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? The way of life is above the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but the will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of pain troubleth his own house, but he that hates guilt shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth the reproof of the Lord abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instructions of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Amen. Appreciate that wonderful reading there. That's the word of God. So.
It sure is, because we've been talking on this last week and the last couple of weeks. But you know what? Our mouth can get us in more trouble than anything. If we don't lean on to the Lord and let him tell us what to do, where to go, and what to say, we have more problems. But if we turn it over to him and let him take his way, everything comes out like it's supposed to. And I thank the Lord, he is working on me and doing a work in my life.
Amen. Praise God. I am too. I tell you what, that is a wonderful word right there, and we'll take heed to that and listen to that while we'll be a whole lot better off.
That's right.
Go ahead there, Brother John. Okay, go ahead, sister. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sister.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Go ahead there, Brother John.
Appreciate the opportunity to speak the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to speak the Lord's word. And tonight we're talking to you about, out of Proverbs 18 and 21, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, the tongue is a powerful member. A tongue is and we're going to get into that in a little bit, but there is death and life in the power of the tongue. The words, the things that we see, and the Bible says they that love it, either whether it's death or life, shall eat the fruit thereof. There is fruit unto death, and there's fruit unto life tonight. And the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with me, actually, two different sermons, and I'm going to give the first one, and God actually woke me up real early in the morning, which he always does, and I was up most of the night. Really, God began to pour out these two sermons. I'm going to give you the first one first, and there'll be time for the other one, but a distinct word. But take this as a prophetic word. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 that in the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when the devil tried to tempt him, you know, these were words of death. Everything that the devil spoke, not only in the temptation in Luke chapter 4, verse 4 and Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, but also in the serpent in the garden, amen. The words that he spoke, they're all words of death, death and darkness and destruction. You know, there are those of you that are need the sound of my voice. You know, whatever you use your tongue for, whatever you yield your members unto righteousness, you know, the tongue is unruly evil. It speaks of in James chapter 3, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. But there is power in the tongue, and there's the power of death and life.
Amen.
And we can bring destruction unto ourselves, or we can bring life unto ourselves. We can bring darkness, and we can bring so many things upon our own life. But the first scripture I want to give you is out of Proverbs chapter 13, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 2 and 3. And those of you that are following along, just write these scriptures down and go and refer to them later on. Proverbs 13 and 2 and 3 says, "A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor," that means the soul of the rebellious person, "shall eat violence. The soul of the sluggard," that's someone who is lazy, slothful. So the soul of the sluggard, verse 3, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life." In other words, he that is silent is what it's talking about. He that is silent, there are times there. You know, when we don't have anything to say but idle words, words that, just like said here, the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence, because this is the fruit of death. Because, you know, he's talking about violence. This transgressor, he that is in rebellion, just abides in violence. And, amen. And there are those that are living in violence. You know, the Bible does speak of, I believe it's amen, and somewhere in Luke chapter 17, talks about the kingdom of heaven suffering violence, and the violence taking it by force. Amen. But, you know, that there are those that bring violence by their mouth. There are those that bring death by the words that they speak. But here it talks about being silent before and keeping your life. "But he that openeth wide his lip shall have destruction." In other words, those that open your mouth wide, but the words you're speaking, it's not the word of life. It's not the word of God. It's your words. It's idle words. It's words of the flesh. It's words of death. Amen. When we speak it, amen. Because if it's not coming, the source is not coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of these words are just vain words. They're words of violence, amen, words of bitterness, amen, hallelujah. So that's where it brings death. So these sons, we're instructed, amen, to keep silent. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 1, it says, be slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to wrath, and amen. And so there's times that we just need to be still and know that he's God. There's times, amen, that we don't need to answer a matter, amen, before we've heard it all. You know, a lot of times we'll speak abruptly, amen, and basically out of turn, but these are things that we have to be careful of.
Then the next scripture, let's go back. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Proverbs 21 and 23 says this. Hallelujah. The Bible says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. Amen. In other words, there again, when we restrain the tongue, when we restrain this unruly evil, the Bible says that we'll keep our soul from troubles. You know, hallelujah, we need to find out tonight that as we restrain, amen, you know, the Bible says he that bridles his tongue, the same as a perfect or complete man. So there's times that we need to just like I said, be still and know that he's God. Sometimes we need, amen, because we have to understand once the words come, once these words come forth, it's like let out the water. We need to know that every word we speak is either going to bring death or life. That's what it says there in Proverbs, amen. That's what it says in Proverbs 18 and 21. So any words that comes forth, amen. Amen. We know that out of the abundance of the heart of the mouth speaketh. Now the Bible says, let's turn to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, and let's turn there and let's read verse 1 and 2. Proverbs 6. He's talking to, amen, the son there, and he says, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend. In other words, surety is guarantee a debt. If one of your friends are in debt, if one of your friends, amen, amen, and we begin to be a surety or a suretyship, or we even later on there says, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, in other words, you shook hands with a stranger and you said you was going to guarantee this debt. Church, tonight there's only one that can guarantee a debt, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid our sin debt. We're bought with a price tonight, amen. And we can speak words, but you know what? These words will bring death to us when we get in disobedience to the Word of God. And the Bible says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. A snare is a trap, amen? So we need to be careful because amen. Once we've entered in, you know, just like it says, once we entered in and guaranteed, once we set ourselves up and say, yeah, I'll pay that debt or I'll do this, there again, church, there's no one that can pay that debt tonight. There's no one that can pay that sin debt but the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's talking here about natural debts, amen, that being a suretyship, amen. But the Bible says that you will smart for it. It says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. And so as we begin to speak words, amen, we need to be careful because if we guarantee, if we lift ourselves up in pride, amen, that will bring death tonight, amen, amen, and we will be taken by the snares, like the snare of the fowler. These are traps of... This mouth, amen, is a big trap, amen, and we can trap ourselves, we can snare ourselves by the words we speak. So let's go on back, amen, hallelujah, and let's turn to Matthew 12, amen, starting, I believe it's in verse 32, hallelujah, Matthew 12 and verse 32, and here it was talking about blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Here it was talking about as Jesus Christ cast out devils, and they, amen, they begin to declare, amen, that he cast out devils by the prince of Beelzebub, amen, or the prince of devils, amen. And then he talked about, amen, that there in verse 31, he said, wherefore I say unto you, all manners of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto man. This is the sin against the Spirit. This is speaking against, amen, the Spirit. This can bring death. Amen. This can even bring to the place of the second death of unforgiveness. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, when you speak against the Spirit of God, when you speak against the Spirit of God, that brings death to you. That brings a snare to you. That brings a trap to you. The Bible says, they shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor either in the world to come. So this is the thing. When we start speaking against the Holy Spirit tonight, when we start speaking against the thing and begin to declare that the things of the Holy Spirit are the things of the enemy or the things of the world, we have to be careful, amen, because we can bring death, amen, and not only death, but even eternal death, even to the place of second death. So we have to be careful that we keep our mouth, that we guard our mouth, amen, because there is death or life in the power of the tongue, and we will eat the fruit of it. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. You have to understand that whatever fruit this the tree bears, that's how it's known. Tonight, if we bear forth good fruit, in other words, how we glorify the Father. The Bible says in John chapter 15, herein is the Father glorified that you bear much fruit. We know that he is the true vine according to the word of God, amen. In John chapter 15, it tells us, amen, that the Father is the husbandman, which is the farmer. It tells us that Jesus Christ is the true vine, and it tells us that believers are branches. And it tells us that we cannot bear fruit outside of the vine. That true vine is the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we can't bear even any fruit, but we can only bear bad fruit if we're not abiding in Jesus Christ tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ is not living on the inside of us. If he's not the word that's within us, the word of truth that's within us. So he talked to you about as the Holy Ghost speaking against, amen, that power of the tongue, bringing death or life. You need to know tonight that he said, I set before thee life and death, therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. These words are spoken unto your seed, and that seed comes after you, it's your children and your children's children. And so God instructs us in his word in Matthew 12, verse 33, to make the tree good. If the tree is good, then the fruit will be good. If the fruit and the tree is good, the root will be good. That root is out of the root of Jesse. That root is the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we need to, so we'll be known by the tree. We need to be a tree of life. Amen? Just as Sister Frieda read there in Proverbs 15, it says, the way is a tree of life. That tree of life was in the midst of paradise in the beginning. That tree of life was there in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. That tree of life.
Amen.
That is, he said, to them that overcome will I give to eat the tree of life. You need to know tonight that your Bible is the tree of life, amen? And the leaves are for the healing of the nations. In other words, the Bible says it bear, amen, in Revelation 22, all manners of fruit every month, amen, amen. It was on both sides of the river of life. And we need to know tonight that the leaves of that tree of life was for the healing of the nations. That was the Gentile nations, amen. Amen. And so the tree of life that was began there and was given to the Jews and given to Israel and then became and as the Gentile nations, amen, were grafted in and became one, amen, with the tree of life, amen. And that's how we do it, by the seed of Jesus Christ through the seed of Abraham, amen. And then the Bible says, then he said in verse 34 of Matthew 12, he said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Now, these he's talking about those that had come in, those that had spoken against him, spoken against the Spirit, spoken against the Holy Ghost. And see, the Bible says, if you're evil, how can you speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's what's going to be in the heart. That's how they're going to be known, by their fruit. Amen. And the Bible says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. An evil man can only bring forth evil things. Evil man or woman, evil can only bring forth evil. And good can only bring forth good tonight, church. He said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Idle words. Church, we need to quit speaking idle words. Words that have nothing. Words of slothfulness. Words of things that when we're not speaking the word of God. Amen. And pertaining to the word of God and the things of God. Hallelujah, because these are idle words, and we're going to give account of every word that we speak, every word that we speak against God, every word that we speak against the Spirit. Tonight, you need to be speaking for the Spirit. That is life, amen, and not against the Spirit. He says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You need to know tonight, by thy words you'll be justified. What is that? Life. Are you speaking words of life tonight? The Bible says there's death or life in the power of the tongue. You'll eat the fruit thereof. You're either going to eat life or death tonight. You're either going to eat good or evil tonight. It's all going to be one or another. Amen. Hallelujah. So, amen. Let's turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Amen. John chapter 6. And it talks about here in John chapter 6, starting in verse 47. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And he declares unto them, if you believe on him, you'll have everlasting life. He said, I am that bread of life. He said, your fathers didn't eat manna in the wilderness, son. Yeah, they ate manna, amen, that came, that God gave them and gave them unto Moses, amen, in the wilderness, the children of Israel, amen, when they were there in the wilderness. God divinely fed them every day, amen, and gathered, amen, 6 days out of the week. On the seventh day, amen, they were gathered twice as much on the sixth day to have enough to represent what was the Sabbath or a day of rest, a ceasing from the works of the flesh. And then the Bible says in verse 15, this is the bread which comes down from heaven. He's talking about him. He's the bread that came down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. When you eat the word of God, when you eat the bread of life, Jesus Christ is the word tonight. And it is the word of life. And we must not mishandle it. Tonight, we know that this bread come down from heaven. The word of God, your Bible, is the bread of life. Amen? And as your Bible is the bread of life, as you eat, as you read, as you study, as you eat the roll, amen, as you have communion, every time you open the word of God, you're having communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Is not, amen." He said, "This is my body. Take and eat." There in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, "As often as you do this as a remembrance of me." In other words, when you eat the word of God, how do you eat the word of God? You take it in through the mouth, amen, and through the heart, amen. You read it. You study it. Verse 51, he says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." That's what he was talking about. The bread that he gave, it was, his body was broken on the cross at Calvary. And when his body was broken, that was breaking the bread of life. And we partake of the cross at Calvary. This is the life, amen. And when you eat of this bread, amen, not only of that which is the cross, but the whole word of God from Genesis to Revelation, it is the bread of life, and you will live forever. And the Jews didn't understand that. These are things that are naturally discerned. Amen. Hallelujah. They began to look at it, and they said among themselves in verse 52, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They didn't understand. They were dull, amen, and didn't understand the truth. They didn't understand the mystery of the kingdom. And he said in verse 53, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Jesus Christ, life blood, is in the word of God. The Bible says, "Take and drink of this cup, for it is my blood in the New Testament." In other words, in the New Covenant, from Matthew to Revelations, it is the life blood. It was his blood that was shed upon Calvary, and it gives us a drink that will never thirst again. It's the life blood, amen. It's not literary, because it's forbidden in the natural to drink actual real blood. But the blood is a life blood that was shed, the life blood that came forth from this word of God will give you, amen, eternal life. And he says, "Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." This is the resurrection, the promise of the resurrection. "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." In other words, when you get into the word of God and you begin to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to have that relationship and begin to take him into your life, amen, he is that meat, he is that strength, he is that drink, amen, that you'll never thirst again. He said, "If you would ask of me," this is not something, amen, that you can get in any route, but it only comes from Jesus Christ. It only comes from the fountain of life. It only comes from the waters of life. He says, hallelujah, "He that eat my flesh and drink my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." In other words, every time you study the word of God, every time you read the word of God, every time you take it into your heart, you are eating the word of God, amen. You are opening, amen, your heart unto this, and it's going down in the heart. Excuse me. David said, "Hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against me," against him. And so as we take on the word of God, this is the word of life, amen. This is the bread of life. And as you eat it, the more you eat it, the more you take it in, the more you have life. He said in John chapter 10, he said, "I've come that you might have life," amen, "that more abundantly." Amen. God, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to you tonight. Those of you Many of you are sitting in death, and life has been set before you. Many of you have even spoken death and destruction and darkness all around you. Amen. You need to know that, amen, when you speak words of death and not the word of God, when you bring into a realm of God will bring you to a place of impossible. The Bible says that he is the God of all flesh, and Jeremiah, is there anything too hard for him? I don't care what circumstances or situation you're going through tonight, amen. With the Lord Jesus Christ, all things are possible. The Bible says that the life that I now live is not I that live, but Christ that lives within me. Amen. And tonight we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us, according to Philippians 4, verse 13. These are all words of life. We can do the impossible tonight, church. Amen. Not without Jesus Christ, but with him we can do all things. And the Bible says, verse 58, this is that bread which comes down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth the bread shall live forever. And then these things he began to teach on down there in the scriptures, I know, because of the sake of time, amen. And they begin to say, well, this is a hard saying. I'm paraphrasing some of these scriptures there. And when Jesus knew that his disciples murmured at it, he said, does this offend you? In other words, the disciples didn't discern what he was speaking about. They could get, we've got to eat his flesh and we got to drink his blood. How are we going to do that? That wasn't what he was talking about. See, they were still in the flesh. They were still had the natural mind. They were still trying to figure it out through the carnal mind. Tonight, you need to know something, amen. The words of life come. And amen to a heart of life, amen to a mind of Christ, amen. But you have to have it. There's no way you can receive it. It's through the word of life, amen, amen. Because see, we are still dead in our trespasses and sins when we have a carnal mind. The Bible says a carnal mind in Romans chapter 8 is enmity against the things of God. In fact, the Bible says a carnal mind, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, is death. But the spiritual, the spiritual mind is life and peace. So we have to have that mind of Christ. Amen. He says, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? In other words, if you see the sin of Christ, will you believe? Verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Do you know that every word of God is spirit and life? It's breath and life. Every word of God. I just read that to you.
Amen.
Going on, amen. In fact, he even began to ask the disciples going on. We're going to skip some of those scriptures, amen. And he said, you need to know tonight that Jesus already knew from the beginning who would betray him, who would be. He even chose Judas Iscariot, knowing that he was going to betray him, knowing that he was a devil,
man.
Knowing that the devil would enter in his heart, amen. Hallelujah, because he had to be betrayed, because he had to lay down his life so that we could live, amen. Like I said, there's death or life in the power of the tongue. Proverbs says it. He said, and then he turned to Peter and he said, will you also go away? Let me ask you something tonight. All over this world, all over these nations that are listening tonight, some of you have decided and made up your mind, well, maybe I need to go away. It's just these are hard sayings. These are hard words. You know what? The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard, church. The way of
Amen.
A transgressor is hard. A way that goes to the way of rebellion. But you know what? You know why it's making it hard? Because you've spoken words of rebellion. You've spoken words of murmuring. You've spoken words of disputing. You've laid a trap. You've been snared by your own words. And you know what? You need to start speaking the words of life. You need to start speaking the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only into your own life, but into your family, into your circumstances, into your situation. I don't care what
Amen.
You're going through right now. I don't care what you're facing right now. There are people, in, the Bible says that the brethren are receiving the same affliction. You know, it's unfortunate tonight, all over this world tonight, you know, people, you know, they've lost their homes, they've lost this, they've lost that, they've lost that. But the most important thing, don't lose Jesus tonight. Don't lose the words of life tonight. Amen. He even told Peter, well, thou go away. And in verse 69, he said, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them and said, I'm not thy chosen. 12 of you, and one of you is the devil. He already said, where could I go? Church tonight, where could you go? Because there's only one that has the words of life, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one tonight that has the words of life, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 3, I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures there, and then I'm going to give it back to Brother Yearwood. The Bible says in James chapter 3, but before we go to James chapter 3, James chapter 1, verse 17 through 20. says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. We were begotten by the word of truth tonight, church, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. You have to understand tonight, believers are begotten by the word of God, by the resurrecting of Jesus Christ. That word being resurrected, we are also resurrected and the lively stones. So wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Your wrath, some of you are angry with your fellow man. Some of you are angry with your circumstances. Some of you are angry, and some of you need to know something. You brought yourself to this own circumstance. You put yourself in that own pit. You followed, amen, other men or and leaders of the blind, amen. You both fall in a ditch. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 1, he says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, in other words, the judgment. For in many things we offend all. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 6, that this offend you, that you have to eat, amen, of my flesh. In other words, eat of my word, amen, because my flesh is meat and my blood is drink. Is the same as a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. In other words, if you can keep this tongue under control, you can keep the whole body under control. Behold, right. We put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. These little horse bits, these little butt bits in the horse's mouth turns the whole horse. It says, behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whatsoever the governor list is. In other words, wherever that governor list is from the helm, that's which way the boat will turn. But see, tonight, where's your life turning to? That little tongue, that little helm, that little, it says, verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. How many fires have you set with your tongue tonight, church? How many fires of destruction have you set? Or how many fires of upbuilding? You know, the Bible says that the word of God is a two-edged sword. It's quick and powerful in Hebrews 4:10, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is discerning of thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, God's word out of his mouth is a two-edged sword. It represents the word. You know, with a two-edged sword, you can do one thing. You can bring life, or you can bring death. Tonight, what are you bringing? Are you bringing everywhere you speak? Are you sowing seeds of life everywhere you go? Are you even speaking life? You can change your own atmosphere. You can change your circumstance. You can change your circumstances and situation by speaking the words of life. Amen? Hallelujah. And the Bible says, how great a matter a little fire kindled, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, a world of guilt. So is the tongue among our members that it defile the whole body. Do you know your tongue can defile the whole body? Your tongue, if it speaks evil, if it speaks death, can defile the whole body. And amen. Set on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. All these things have been tamed. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Tonight, the tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You know, we stay away from things that are venomous. But you know what? The most venomous thing in the world is your tongue, speaking death. Yeah. Amen? We walk around and we walk away from serpents, but all the time there, and if I get time, we'll later on in the broadcast, God wanted me to bring some of this out. But so therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. We are made after the similitude of God. You're made after the similitude of God, and you know what you need to be doing? Blessing others. Blessing everyone you see. Amen. Blessing everyone with the word of God, with the word seasoned with grace. You need to be blessed. The Bible says, bless your enemy. Need to be blessing everybody. Amen. You don't need to be cursing anybody. You're made after the similitude of God. Amen. So out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain set forth at the same place, sweet water and bitter? Here's what he said. He asked the question. I'm going to ask you the same question. I'm going to give it back to Brother Yearwood. Your tongue tonight, what's it bringing forth tonight? Is it bringing forth sweet, or is it bringing forth bitter? The Word of God says, if it is, it's not that ought to be. Tonight, why don't you bring forth blessings? Why don't you bring forth life? Why don't you eat the Word of life and speak the Word of life? For out of the abundance of heart the mouth speaketh. And right now, these words, some of them have been hard. They're hard sayings. But you know what? Jesus has the words of life. Tonight, don't go
Amen.
Away, but come to the word of life. Come to the tree of life. Speak the words of life and receive it, because he is that bread tonight. What you're hearing tonight is the bread of life. And the words he's spoken to you, their spirit and their life. It will not bring death. It's up to you. Will you receive it? And will you be make the tree good? Make the fruit good, because you'll be known by your fruits. You need to receive the tree of life, the bread of life, the word of life, and he that is life himself in John chapter 14. Right now is your opportunity if you'll just turn to Jesus. Go ahead, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. So 937, come in and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yeah, Brother Yearwood, this is Brother and Sister Green here in Springboro, Ohio. We're just glad to be listening in to you tonight, and thank the Lord for your broadcast.
Okay, well, let me get Tim sing a song here, then we'll get you on there and obey the Lord.
Okay.
Go ahead, Tim, sing a song.
I am filled with eternal pleasure as I walk in the path of life. Oh, what joy it can be.
Appreciate that wonderful song there. So, you know, I tell you what, there's joy in the journey, and I thank God for it, because I find joy every day that I walk in the ways of the Lord and try my best to do what the Lord wants done. I find that there's peace and there's joy, and that's all that counts, is just being doing what you can do there for the Lord. We're speaking tonight on death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, I tell you what, we speak these things, and what we speak, it's going to happen. You know, as Brother John done brought out there to us, whatever that we say, it's going to happen to us. And so a lot of times we speak these things upon us, and we need to speak blessings every time upon us, and we can receive the blessings. So go ahead there, Brother Green, your Sister Green, whichever one you want to go there first. Just go ahead and obey the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Brother Yearwood, it's Sister Green. And, you know, I was thinking about what Sister Frieda had said there in the beginning, how she had a mammogram, she had a great testimony, a great report, that it all came back well. And you know, it brought me back to thinking about my aunt. I remember in my early 20s going over to visit her at her house. And, you know, I didn't get saved until I was 26 years old. And I would go over to her house and I would do ceramics with her and we'd paint and stuff like that. And I remembered her saying to me all the time that she would think every little pain that she had, that she would say, oh, I've got cancer. And she would go to the doctor and she would get tested and they would give her clear that, you know, no cancer. And you know, finally, believe it or not, that her speaking that, she kept saying it, I think the doctor missed it. She'd say all kind of things. And she wasn't a Christian. And then, you know, one day it came upon her. And I believe she had spoke it so much that she had spoke it into existence that the devil knew that she feared cancer. And I was thinking of Job, how he said, the worst thing, the thing that I feared has come upon me. And, you know, so we're not to fear. Fear brings torment. And so she feared that thing of cancer, and that's exactly what took her out of here. But, you know, she, during the process of trying to get well and stuff like that, she did get saved. So I give God all the glory for that and praise him for it. And, you know, I was thinking just a couple nights ago in church, I was telling, you know, we had they call it popcorn preaching, where we have a preach around and all the ministers got to get up and exhort on the Lord for about 5 to 10 minutes. And, you know, I was thinking about my cousin that was 21 years old. I'm 47, and he was a year older than me. So when he was 21, this has been years ago, he was sitting on his mother's couch. And, you know, he had went to it's the same mama that had said she would die of cancer. Her son, sitting on the couch at 21 years old, he went to church all his young days of his life. The church bus would come pick him up on Sunday morning, take him to church. And when he got grown, probably right out of high school, I'd say, maybe right during high school, he got out of church, he backslid. And at 21 years old, he sat on his couch and he told his mom, he said, Mom, I'm not going to live past my age, 21. And she said, oh, you quit talking like that. And he went out with some friends, and he was on his way on a rainy night, and guess he was taking the curbs too hard, too fast, and he was on his way to do no good. He wasn't up to good. What he was going to go do is what they tell it. And the leaf spring broke in his car, and he hydroplaned, and he wrapped himself around a telephone pole. There was two other boys in the car with him around the same age. The one died instantly. One just had a broken arm. And my cousin was the driver, the one that said he wouldn't live past 21. And he was the driver, and the farmer that owned the field that the car ended up in, he ran out to check out the scene, to check out what was going on, and said that the one driving was laying in the cornfield, and he had still had breath in his body, and he was calling upon God and asking God to forgive him. You know, I don't know if David made it or not. That's between him and God. But, you know, if I'm talking to you tonight, somebody out there listening under the sound of my voice, the devil, he's got a plan for you. That God can break that curse, you know, out of the mouth. We can speak cursings or blessings like Brother John was talking about, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And, you know, we can speak blessings over our life. But, you know, God said that if you love me, keep my commandments. And, you know, if it's, this is you, and you can speak a blessing over your life, and I believe it was Balaam, they were trying to get Balaam to curse what God had blessed. And, you know, you cannot curse what God has blessed. And if you're an enemy of a Christian tonight, you better get on the winning side with God, because a Christian is a blessed person tonight. And
amen.
You can't, you can try to cuss, and you can try to cuss God and curse God. You could try to curse the Christian that's trying to get you saved or what have you, but you cannot curse what God has blessed. Praise God. Out of the same fountain can't come bitter water and sweet water. Out of the same mouth can't come blessings and cursings. So, in other words, if you want to look at the cup half full or you want to look at the cup half empty, if you want to say I'm half sick or do you want to say I'm half well, praise God, I'd rather say I'm half well and God's a healing me. Praise the Lord. So just that, I had that, I know it was short on my mind, Brother Yearwood, and we have to be careful what we say. The Bible says to call those things that are not as though they were. So we can speak things, we can speak blessings over our children, over our own lives, over our home. And we can start thanking the Lord ahead of time before the bills are paid. And we don't know how it's going to be paid, but we start thanking him because we know the answer is on the way. He says, we have not because we ask not. He said, ask and ye shall receive, knock and it shall be opened. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Thank you,
amen.
Jesus.
Seek and we shall find. Hallelujah. And I guess Brother Green wants to say something there. God bless you all. We love you all. Miss every one of you. And we appreciate you. And remember, Friday night at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, we do a radio broadcast. And it's blogtalkradio.com/ the Macedonian Call around the globe. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Good to be with you tonight. I've just got a few scriptures here. Isaiah 54:17, I'd like to read that to you. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness
Amen.
Is of me, saith the Lord. So, you know, the enemy's out there. He's got a lot of weapons he's trying to form against us, and he's trying to discourage us tonight and bring us down. He's trying to get us off of the mountain. He's trying to get us in the valley and discouraged, and he wants us to quit and discontinue this fight. But I tell you, I got in this to stay, and I plan on staying, praise God, and I'm fighting
Amen.
A good fight, and I'm keeping my hand on the gospel plow. And I tell you, the devil's trying to get you to turn loose of that gospel plow tonight. He's trying to tell you, you know, just quit speaking, just quit talking about Jesus. But I tell you, we got a tongue, and the Bible said every tongue is going to confess to God and that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the
Amen.
Father. So I'm not going to quit confessing, and I'm not going to back down from the gospel, and you know, I'm not going to give in, because I know that down the road one day there's going to be a payday. And I heard a woman sing the other night a song about a payday coming. And she was
Amen.
Singing, I got my time in for Jesus. Payday's coming after a while. And I want to keep putting my time in. I don't want to quit on the job. You know, when you get hired to do a job, sometimes, you know, you work 8 or 10 hours, and you go home, but you clock out, you know. But, you know, in this warfare, there's never no clocking out. We just got to be ready instant in season and out of season.
Yep.
If it's raining on the outside or if it's snowing or whatever it's doing, we still got to keep working for Jesus. We still got to keep putting our time in. Because payday is coming after a while. We got to keep on praying. We got to keep on fasting. Whatever it is the Lord lays on our heart to do for him, I tell you, we got to keep doing it. Praise God. So No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. I want you to know tonight you're fighting the good fight of faith, and you're living for Jesus. I tell you, the devil may be trying to put some things together to try to stop you, but the Bible says here, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. You know, I wouldn't want to go to the judgment talking bad about God's people. I wouldn't want to face God with things like that, you know.
Yeah.
Because I tell you, we've got time down here. If we've said things against people, we need to go to the altar, and we need to repent of what all we've done, what all we've said, and how that we have transgressed against the Lord. Because, see, when you're fighting against me or I'm fighting against you or whoever, we're fighting against one another, we're really not fighting. You know, we're fighting against God is who we're fighting against. And, you know, Paul was doing that. He was persecuting the Christian, and he was saying all kind of bad things about them, and he was working against them. But, you know, one day Jesus stopped him on the road to Damascus, and he stopped him, and he said, why do you persecute me? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? See, when we're fighting against God's people, we're actually not fighting against God's people, but we're fighting against God. And, you know, people trying to work and trying to build the kingdom of God, and somebody comes along behind them, it's like a carpenter, one man said. He said, it's like a carpenter building a house. And he said he works all day to try to build that house. And he's a framing that house and putting them nails and everything in that house. And he's a putting the roof and everything on that house. And he said then he goes home at night, you know, from his labor. And he said then the people get up behind him and start tearing the house down. So we got to be careful, you know, as Christians, we're not tearing the house down, but that we're building it up, praise God.
Amen.
I want to go to another scripture over here in Isaiah 59. I want to start with verse 1. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. So the tongue was getting them in trouble, and their lips were speaking lies, and they were in a bad shape. This is Isaiah 59. And, you know, I thank God that the cross of Calvary has intervened for us. That, you know, if we're in a bad shape like these people were here in Isaiah, well, we can get back to God. We can go to the old rugged cross and kneel at the foot of the cross, and we can ask the Lord forgive us of all of our sins, and he'll cleanse us, and he'll wash our sins away and take away that stony heart. He'll give us a new heart, and we'll have a new tongue, you know. Praise
Amen.
God. We won't be saying the things we used to say, but we'll be saying things to try to edify and to build up the church. And I don't have a whole lot to say tonight, but I want to go also to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And we'll say a little bit of something there because the Bible talks about it. We're getting into the end of the New Testament here. And this is chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. But I want you to notice there, he's saying in verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So here they were in the Corinthian church, and you know, these Corinthians were people that had worshipped all different kind of gods, and they had had many statues and things set up, and thinking about Mars Hill in Acts chapter, somewhere around the 17th chapter, Paul was up there on that hill, and he found an altar with the inscription on it to the unknown God. And he began to tell them that he knew who the real God was. So he was dealing with these people that had many gods. And I believe they thought that when these people were speaking in unknown tongues, that they were speaking by evil spirits. And he said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. So he was trying to inform them that there was people speaking. But he said in verse 3, well, let me go to verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. So they were worshiping idols. They were worshiping things that could not speak. They could not hear. They could do nothing for them. They probably got down in front of some of these statues, and they prayed, and they talked to them, but they heard nothing back. And they was getting no results. And in verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So they must have been saying, well, these people speaking in some kind of a language, or we don't know what it is, and we don't know what they're saying, must be of the devil. Well, I want you to know they're saying that today. They're saying that the unknown tongues, many of the, even in the churches, some of the churches have gone so far as to say that speaking in tongues is of the devil. But if they would read 1 Corinthians 12, they would see that God speaks through his people. And in verse, let's see here now, in verse 4, I believe it is. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So he was telling them there's different gifts, but it's from the same Spirit, and it's from the Spirit of God. And when you're speaking in an unknown tongue, you're not calling Jesus accursed, because the Spirit of God is speaking through you. So you're using the Spirit of God is using your voice and your tongue, but you're speaking mysteries. And the Bible tells us in the 14th chapter, let me see if I can find it here, and 14, and let me just start at verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So we have here that Paul was teaching, and he was teaching this Corinthian church, and he was telling them that that a man speaking in an unknown tongue, see, we don't know what they're saying. In verse 2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So he's speaking unto God. So it's a good thing to speak unto God. Now I want to look on down here. In verse 5, it says, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So we're talking about the tongue, and I think I read to you there in Isaiah 50 and 4, or maybe I didn't, but I'm going to read it. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned. And that's Isaiah 50 and 4. Let me read that again to you. If I didn't read it, I'll read it. Praise God. And he'd given us the tongue of the learned. And actually, he's talking about Jesus. I won't turn over there. I'll go on with what I'm saying. But the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. He wakened, and there's some more to it there, but it also says there in the last part of that, he wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. So not only was Jesus given the tongue of the learned, but ear to hear as the learned, but you know, he's given that to us today because we're joint heir with Jesus. And if we press in and get close to God, we can get the gifts of the Spirit. He wants us to have those gifts. One of them is the gifts of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. In verse 6, it says, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine?" Praise God. So he's telling us, you know, there should be an interpretation to the tongues if it's going out to the church. But there is also the tongue that speaks not unto men, but unto God. He tells us about all the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12. And I'll just get off of that for now. But in verse 18, let me look at verse 18. Paul the Apostle, in chapter 14, verse 18, said, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all." Verse 21 says, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord." Now, if you go back into Isaiah 28, you can find that very scripture in the Old Testament in Isaiah 28 and 11, which I won't go to that, and I'll probably just get off here pretty quick here. Let Brother Yearwood, he may have a lot to say tonight, I'm not sure. Verse 22 says, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." Praise God. If therefore, verse 23, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in one, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced of all and he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth." Now I want to drop down to verse 39, "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues." Praise God. So I know we can lose our love. You know, we can get in a bad shape, even though we've maybe pressed in and got the gifts of the Spirit. And you know, we've got tongues and interpretation and prophecy and these things that the Bible tells us we can have. But sometimes people lose their love and they fall out. And they may continue on preaching or whatever, but they've lost the love of God. And in chapter 13, verse 1, it says here, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." You see, what Paul was saying was they had lost their love. They still spoke with tongues of men and of angels, but they didn't have charity. He said this could happen. And he said there in the middle of that verse, he said, "I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." So people can lose their love. And, you know, God will let them go on for a while. But, you know, they're not going to make it if they don't get back the love of God. If they Amen. Don't get loving people and loving one another, then when they stand before God, they're going to come up short. They're going to say, "Have not we prophesied in thy name, done many wonderful works, cast out devils?" He's going to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, that I never knew you. Because God has the ability to blot people out of the book of life, and he has the ability to forget things. We don't have that ability. I'm sorry to say tonight, some of us need to forget some things, but we don't have that ability. But praise God, it's good to be with you tonight. I'm going to turn it back to Brother Yearwood, thank him very much for allowing us to come on this broadcast with him. And we just love you all out there, and we're praying for you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother Green. We appreciate you and love you all there, too. So, Betty, I'm going to let her go ahead and read some here that she's got and speak whatever she's got to speak.
I've got a few scriptures here I'd like to share with you guys. John 6:63 says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are life; they are spirit, and they are life." John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Proverbs 8:35, "For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Proverbs 8:36, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." John 3:6, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." And I was just thinking, Jesus spoke nothing but positive things, and that's how we should be. We should not be around nobody that's talking negative. We need to be around those
right.
that are speaking positive things all the time. And I've got John 11:25-26. "Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?"
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that word there. You know, I've got a few verses here I'd like to read, and then obey the Lord just a little bit on, then I'll turn it back to Brother John. I think he's got another message he's wanting to preach that God's dealing with him on it, so I'm not a jealous-hearted preacher myself. I like to get the word out. Somebody might need what's going to be said. So I want to start out in Proverbs 18:21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." You know, I was thinking there, me and Betty and Tim knows a lady that's done gone on now to be with the Lord. I hope and pray that everything was right when she left. But anybody could ask her to go to church, and her first thing she would say is, "I'm going to be sick." And at this time, she wasn't sick. She was just a normal lady, but she would always, when you'd ask her to come to church, she'd always, "Well, I'm going to be sick," and you could ask her on Sunday about going Wednesday, she's going to be sick. So, you know, she always confessed that, and, you know, truly, before she died, she about died, she was in the hospital, they had to put tubes in her stomach to drain the poison out of her stomach and everything. So she confessed that she was going to be sick. And, you know, That's what the Word is telling us right here in Proverbs 18 and 21. You know, we confess these things, and whatever we confess, it's going to happen to us. I tell you, it's time that people need to start speaking the words of blessings over them. I like the way our pastor does. Every service, he leads us up there. He gets us all up there around the pulpit, and he takes the Word of God, and he blesses us. He speaks the Word of blessings. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He speaks the words of blessing over each and every one of us. And you know, and then he tells us the last thing he tells us, be blessed and go in the peace of the Lord. And you know, that's what we need to realize tonight. Praise God that we need to speak the words of blessings over the people and over our families and over our situations. As Brother John was a mention there a while ago, we need to, it don't matter what the situation looked like, we just need to speak the words of blessings over them. Then the God is obligated to bless us. I tell you what, if we'll speak what God says and speak God's words, he's going to do something. Because I believe in one passage of Scripture, he said that he watched over his word, and he done it. He took care of it. And praise God, I'm so glad tonight to know that God is going to watch over his word. He's going to conform it. He's going to bring it forth, whatever it's spoken. Somebody done mentioned here a while ago about the word telling us to speak, to call these things though as they ain't, as they would be. And you know, that's what we need to do. If we got a bad circumstances coming at us, we need to start reversing that thing and start speaking a blessing over it. And God will bless it. He can turn around what the devil meant to be bad for us. God can turn it around and do the good for us. I'm glad tonight to be able to say that I'm a servant of God that is able to turn all the circumstances around. I tell you what, it's time that we start speaking of the blessings of God. Let's look into Matthew 12 and 37. It says, for by this, for by thy words shall thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know, I tell you what, we speak the words, we can speak the words with our tongues, and we can bring the blessings upon us, or we're condemned by the words that we speak. I tell you what, I don't want to condemn myself. I want to bless myself. I want to speak the words of blessings. I want God just to pour the blessings out on me. You know, like he said over there in Deuteronomy, I believe the 28th chapter, it talks about the curses upon the people. You know, if they don't heed to God's word and they don't be obedient to it, how the curses will come upon you. But my friend, if you be obedient and obey God's word, he said the blessings would overtake you. I believe the blessings of God will overtake us and run us down and will stack up on us if we will be, that's in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. And I tell you what, God is still putting the blessings out upon us. He won't put on, he brought up on the Egyptians if we would just obey him. I tell you, I'm going to speak the words of blessings of God. I tell you, and we do that, then God will bless us. Let's look into Proverbs 15 and 4. Hey. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness, I can't even say that word, therein is a preached in the Spirit. You know, Brother John done brought this out a while ago. I tell you, I thank God that people need to heed to the Spirit of God. They need to know what the Spirit is saying unto the churches this day, and they need to be obedient to it. Praise God. Let's look into James 1 and 26 and 27. If any man among you seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is vain. You know, praise God. There's always, you know, there's people, as Brother Green was talking about a while ago, people always trying to run somebody else down, trying to bring them down. But praise God, I tell you what, them people, their religion is in vain. They need to wake up. They need to realize, praise God, that they need to speak the words of blessings. I tell you, when they do that, then God can bless them and can bless the one that they've been looking at. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep themselves keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, praise God. That's what God is looking for people to do. He's telling us what is a pure, undefiled religion is. We need to visit the people, and we need to know that we're going to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We got to watch. The devil will trip us up. He will throw everything that he will and that he can in front of us to get us to trip up. But if we'll just keep our eyes on the Lord and keep ourselves unspotted from the world, we'll make it. We'll go through. We'll be obedient to God. Hallelujah. In James 3, 5, and 6, James 3rd chapter, verse 5 and verse 6, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great is, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. You know, praise God, that's what a word the devil is at. You know, another passage of scripture, it says that our tongue was a small member of the body, and no man could tame it. But you know, praise God, God can tame us, and God will, I believe Brother John brought it out a while ago about it, if our tongue, if it is controlled, then we control our whole body. And I thank God tonight, hallelujah, that we can leave it to God and let God take care of it. We'll just let God handle it. Everything will be good. I've got one more verse I'm going to read here. Then I'm going to get ready to turn it back to Brother John and let him come on and obey the Lord. Wherefore, lay, that's 1 Peter 2 and 1. Wherefore, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envious and all evil speaking. You know, praise God, that's what the Word is telling us, that we need to lay aside every sin. Hallelujah. Another passage of Scripture, it tells us to lay aside every weight, a sin that so easy beset us. And I tell you what, right here in 1 Peter, he's saying lay aside all malice. Hallelujah. You know, that's what we need to do tonight. The people out there in the radio land, and even the people that's on the radio, we need to lay aside every weight, everything laid aside of us. Praise God, don't let nothing defile us. We need to know, praise God, that the Spirit of God is going to take care of us, and the Spirit of God will lead us, and it will guide us, and it will teach us into all the truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother John, praise the Lord.
Yeah, brother.
I'm go ahead and obey the Lord. We got 24 minutes, sir.
All right. God woke me up last night, second time, and I couldn't go back to sleep. And God gave me, you know, I already, the message that I already spoke, God gave it to me. And God began to deal with me about this second message. And it's also talking about, we're talking about death of life and the power of the tongue. But Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says this. Says, study show thyself approved unto God. You know, each and every one of us is commanded. This is a commandment. This is a commandment that we are to, each one of us is to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's so very important tonight that we rightly divide the word of truth, that we know exactly what the word of God is saying, that we discern this word of God. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 12, says this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. So there is a spirit of the world, but we have received it as believers. But the spirit which is of God. We have received the spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So we are to come to know the things that God has freely given us tonight, church. And the Bible says, which things, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. In other words, when we receive these things, we speak these things. It becomes life or death, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. There are words that are given by man. There are teachings that are given by man now, but this is not the things that we are to teach, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We need to know that there are natural things and there are spiritual things. So as we study the Word of God, we need to know, we need to rightly divide the things that are spiritual. And just like Sister Betty brought out, and Brother and Sister Green brought out, Sister Frieda brought out, and Brother Yearwood brought out. These things that we're speaking to you tonight, they are spiritual things. Amen. And you can lay the natural things of a man, that which knows the natural man, or the carnal man knows the things of the natural man. The spiritual man knows the things of the spiritual man. And so,
amen.
These things are taught. So we need to rightly divide that which is spiritual, that which is natural. And there was a scripture that comes so strongly to me out of Mark chapter 16. And I've really been concerned. You know, the Bible speaks of, he said, do I offend at all? I hope that I'm not getting ready to offend anyone, but I have seen around, and I know there are churches, unfortunately, in the United States, where people, pastors, leaders in the church, are actually bringing. Let me read this scripture. Mark chapter 16, verse 18. And it's talking about there, previously there, it starts actually, the thought starts in verse 14. But it talks about signs and wonders, and talks about, well, I'm going to go ahead and read it real quick. It says, verse 15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. This was the tongues that Brother Green brought out. This was the gift of tongues that he was speaking of. In the name of Jesus Christ, they shall cast out devils. This next one here is where I was talking about right the divine word true. They shall take up serpents. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. We have people in the United States. I don't know about overseas. Maybe that's going on overseas, but I know we have churches in here that pastors and leaders in the church are bringing in serpents into their church. They're bringing in rattlesnakes. They're bringing in water moccasins. They're bringing in copperheads into the church. The word there says take up serpents. That's not talking about natural serpents. I'm going to read to you a few scriptures of what Jesus Christ was speaking of. I already read to you earlier on in James that the tongue is full of deadly poison. You need to know that your tongue, the tongue of man, is more poisonous than the serpent. But see, the Bible says take up serpents. When you're bringing these serpents and these rattlesnakes and these copperheads into your church, the Bible says take up. That means take them out. And that's not talking about rattlesnakes. And that's not talking about these type of vipers. It's not talking about taking thought. We have dominion over them. The Bible says, I already read that to you in James chapter 3 where it says the serpents are taken. That's not the serpents that Jesus is speaking of here. I'm going to give
Amen.
You what the serpents that he's talking about. And when you, if you are bringing serpents in, one thing, if you're bringing serpents into your church, you're already disobeying the word. You see, you're not even rightly dividing the word of truth. He said, take up serpents. In other words, that's actually take up the enemy. Take the enemy out of your church. Don't bring the enemy into your church. And see what
Amen.
The Bible says, here's where death is. You're bringing in the serpents among your own congregation, among your own people. Amen. You're bringing up a serpent, and just like the beginning of the, you have to understand that this was a war, and it started out, and that red dragon, amen, that's in Revelation chapter 12, is a serpent, the fiery serpent. When they were bitten there in the book of Exodus, amen, and amen, the fiery serpents come in and bit the children of Israel, they had to look upon the, God instructed Moses to put a brazen serpent on a pole and lift it up in the wilderness that everyone that looked upon it, amen, would be healed. And see, just like Jesus was lifted up on the cross at Calvary, everyone that looks upon him, who is the author and finisher of faith, shall be healed because you've been bitten by sin.
Amen.
Okay? You've been bitten by sin. And the Bible says, Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, talks about this. You have to understand what this is. We have to rightly divide it. And the Bible says, and the 70, verse 17, returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. All right? We already know that. We've heard this in Mark chapter 16, verse 18. I just read it to you. And he said unto him, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So here they come, they're rejoicing because the devils are subject to him. And Jesus says to them, I beheld Satan, I beheld the original fall from heaven as lightning.
Amen.
So the whole idea of you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Okay? This is not going to harm you. But you bringing in serpents, those of you that are doing this, those of you that are bringing serpents into your congregation, among your flock, among your lambs, you're doing the wrong thing. You're not rightly dividing the word of truth. This is not what it's talking about here. So notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the heaven. In other words, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. That's what it calls us to rejoice. That's what causes heaven to rejoice. We don't rejoice because the devils are subject to us. But here's the thing that we need to know. The Bible says in Matthew 23, beginning with verse 24. He says, you blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. That's what we're doing, church. We're swallowing with our tongue a camel, these big things. We're bringing in these things. Those of you that are doing this are misdividing the word of God. Amen. You are bringing in natural serpents. These is naturally discerned. And here's what he said, you blind guide. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, that's graves, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but within are full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. You have to understand, they cleaned the outside of the grave. They took care of the outside of the grave. They have to understand, you know who put those people in the grave? These were prophets. These were messengers of God. They cleaned the outside. They took care of the, and made the outside look so good, but they needed to know the inside. But they tried to clean the outside of themselves. But with inside, these are Pharisees. These are hypocrites. These are the serpents that he was talking about. These are the scorpions that he's talking about. If you look over in Revelation, not right now, but Revelation, it talks about the king of the abyss, amen, Apollo and Babylon, talking about Satan himself, the king, the angel of the bottomless pit. He said, out of the smoke of that pit comes the scorpions, and they sting every 5 months, and men will seek death and not find it. Their sting will be so stinging and so harmful that they'll want death. See, scorpions are, there's an outbreak now of scorpions in the natural realm, but there's an outbreak of the scorpions in the spiritual realm. Scorpions are a hibernating type, and every 5 months they go into hibernation, just like bears. So that's what I'm talking about, that every 5 months, here comes these scorpions. So in the natural realm, this is what's happening. In the spiritual realm, it's happening the same way. These spiritual scorpions are coming out and stinging, and that sting of death, amen, and people, by their words, they're speaking death. These scorpion tails are speaking death, amen, and bringing death, amen, and people are seeking death by the sting of the scorpions and not being able to find, they're in torment. He said, even so, verse 28, going back to Matthew 23, even so outwardly you appear righteous in the men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. In other words, they're hypocritical and guilt. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophet and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. So here they are, they're making the thing where the righteous are laying pretty. They're putting garners around there, and they're putting flowers around there, and they're doing all this kind of stuff. And say, verse 30, if you had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with him in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, be ye witnesses unto yourself, ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. He said, fill ye up the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? This is the thing. This is the serpents that Jesus was speaking out. The righteous, religious hypocrites, Pharisees, scribes, that are spiritual wickedness sitting in high places. This is the serpents that he's talking about. He's not talking about you going out there and getting copperheads and bringing them into dirt. He's not talking about going out there and getting rattlesnakes and bringing them into dirt. He's talking about taking the hypocrites and the Pharisees and the scribes. But here's the thing, just like Brother Green brought out. The Bible says those of you that are spiritual, those that are overtaken in a fault, they think they're doing the right thing. These hypocrites, these blind guys are coming, and they're cleaning the outside. They're appearing righteous there, but they're straining out of that and swallowing a camel. These ones are bringing in, amen, death among you with their tongue, with the words that they're speaking, because they haven't rightly divided the word of truth. They're discerning it naturally, and they're bringing in death among you, and death in the camp, because their eyes are not open, but they're blind. And the Bible says that the blind leads the blind, they both shall fall in the ditch. He said,
amen.
Behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogue and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, the son of Zacharias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. These men come, these men appear to be righteous. They even thought they were righteous. The Bible says that the ways of a man seem right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There are those of you that need the sound of my voice. You're bringing death into your church, under your congregation, under your flock, because you're not rightly dividing the word of truth. There's death and life in the power of the tongue, and those that are falling in behind you, you're standing in an ass swallowing a camel, and child of God, and you're making them twice the child of hell. You're proselyting, you're bringing them into a place of unbelief, you're bringing them into a place of hypocrisy.
Please don't do this, church. Please begin to rightly divide the word of truth. Take over. And here's the thing, just like Brother Green said, the Bible says if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, if you see these pastors, these leaders, amen, these Pharisees, these scribes, these hypocrites in the church, restore them with the spirit of meekness. Speak the words of life to them. Give them the word of life. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10 and 11, surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. You know, there are babblers in the church, and they'll bite without enchantment. Without enchantment. What's enchantment? Enchantment is the word of God. Enchantment is, you've seen, see, over in other countries where they'll enchant the serpent. You know, in other words, if the serpent isn't mine, you've seen where, amen, a cobra will come out, and by music it'll be through the enchantment. See, but the word of God will enchantment. And you have to understand, in the garden, that serpent, that old serpent, the Bible speaks of in Revelation chapter 12 and Genesis 3 and 1, that serpent was Satan. That serpent was, and the seed of the serpent, amen, will make war against the seed of the woman. Every child, whether it be a believer or not believer, is his enemy. Tonight, church, we need to make the tree good. We need to make the fruit good. How do we do it? We choose life tonight. We choose life tonight. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, hallelujah, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, ending up here, Bible says, in verse 4, he says, there are also celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial, which is the heavenly body, is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, from one star different from another star in glory. So is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. When we are buried, amen, in the heart of the earth, we raised up with incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power, it is sown in natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There's a spiritual body, and there's a natural body, and there's a spiritual body. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 44. And so it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. The words he speaks unto you, the word that the last spirit and life, just like Sister Betty said, out of John chapter 6. Every word that the last Adam speaks to you. First Adam was a natural man. Tonight you need to be a second Adam. Tonight every one of you needs to be a quickening spirit, a spiritual man. And so it is written, amen. First man Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. In other words, first Adam was a natural man. Second Adam was a spiritual man. And as the earthly, such are they that are earthly, and as in the heavenly, such as they are in the heavenly. If he speaks to you heavenly things, how are you going to know these earthly things? The words that he spoke, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, as far as the heaven is above the earth. I've heard people over and over again, right, they're talking about bringing in rattlesnakes and copperheads and all these kind of things. That's not the serpents he's talking about. That's not the vipers he's talking about. He's talking about the Pharisees and the hypocrites and those that are already, amen, in the church. He's talking about spiritual religious serpents that are already in your congregation. He's not talking about going out there and getting these natural snakes and bringing them in. You've already taken them. You've already had dominion over them. But the ones, amen, that you're going to take over and restore them with lust, that's because they're not in the right way. And as a blindly the blind of the brush of them, you have to understand these congregations. Some of you might be offended in my word, but you know what? If I now therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth, this is rightly the right. This truth, check this out. You need to know this because if you are blind from this gospel, you're blinded by the God of this world. And you need to take your blinders off. Amen? Your eyes need, amen, to be open tonight. Because this time, he said, why? You know, we don't need to stand in jeopardy this hour. He said, now this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does that corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We have to be changed. And just like Brother Green brought out tonight, I'm not wrestling against you as pastors. If you're doing this, and I'm not wrestling against you, but I'm wrestling against principalities, power, spiritual wickedness. Not only me, all of us that are on this broadcast, we're all ministers, we're all fighting the same battle, we all have to have the same armor of God, we're all going through the same things. Amen. But the worst thing we can do is be betrayed within the ranks. The worst thing we can do is deny the way we live. We don't need
that among those, because you have to understand that those of you, amen, Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. There are pastors, there are apostles, there are prophets, there are evangelists, there are teachers underneath the sound of my voice right now that are going the wrong way, and you're leading a multitude the wrong way. I beg of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn around and begin to study the show. You serve to prove a workman need not be saved by the divine word of truth. And begin, amen, to get these things out of your church, out of your life, out of your spirit right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, in the moment, in twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised in incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Bring on there, says, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 54, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Life or death is the power of the tongue. The
Amen.
Sting of death is sin. Sin is coming forth. You've been bitten by sin tonight, church. There are those of you that are high up in the church, high up in the congregation. You think you're right. You've been deceived. He's the deceiver of the whole world. Don't feel bad about this. They're rightly divided. Right now, let your eyes be open. All of this, I'm going to get back to you. I want you to pray. I would ask you to pray that the blinded eyes be open, because, see, we don't need a bunch of people in the ditch. There was a wind, 200-mile-an-hour wind, destroyed. But you know what? Even greater than that tonight, there's the sting of death. The serpent is still speaking words of death. Oh, thou shalt not surely die, but your eyes will be open, and you'll be as gods. He's still there. We need to get that serpent. We need to get that dragon. We need to get Satan. We need to get the false prophet, the beast, the spirit of Antichrist, the pride of life, lust of the flesh, out of the church, out of the body of Christ. It has no place there. There's death of life and the power of the tongue. And amen, shall eat the fruit of it. Make the tree good, church, tonight. Go ahead, Brother Yerba. Take it over.
Amen. Appreciate that, Brother John. Appreciate the word. I agree with you 100%. I've got a scripture here I want to read, and this is a God's word, and I'm going to speak this over everybody, I'm including the whole world, every listener. The Bible tells us in Numbers 6 and 24 through 26, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You know, tonight I would say to everybody that's under the sound of my voice, go in peace in the Lord. And take a hold of what God's word is saying. So we got 2 minutes left. I'm going to ask Tim to, he ain't got a song right there now longer than 2 minutes. So we'll just go ahead and Brother John, tell your church where it's at there and everything.
Praise the Lord. We're in Thomaston, Georgia, amen, 70 miles south of Atlanta, 114 East Main Street. We have Sunday morning services at 10, Sunday school, regular service at 11, Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday night at 6 o'clock this time of year, amen. We just want to welcome everybody, and we thank again for the opportunity to speak the word. We just want all of you to know that we love you, and we're praying for all of you. And it's our desire, amen, for the whole world to be saved. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. So I'm going to let Betty tell our church our place where it's at.
We want to invite everybody to come out to the Madisonville Church of God. If they don't have no church to go to, and if they're in this area, they're welcome to come to Madisonville Church of God in Madisonville, Tennessee, on Highway 68 North. And Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 10:45, and Wednesday night at 6:30.
Praise the Lord. So you heard them there, and we invite you out to all the services there. And Brother Green?
Yeah.
You want to tell them where you go to church at there?
Yeah, we're members there at the Heavenly Highway Tabernacle, 5990 Michael Road, Middletown, Ohio. Okay. If you're in the Middletown area, Springboro area, and surrounding areas, well, we invite you to come. Our church is growing, and we're just, I believe it's doing good. I thank God for it. Back to you, Ben.
Amen. Okay, appreciate that. So our time is up for now, so we'll talk to you there next Tuesday. And just remember, Brother and Sister Green's broadcast are on Friday night from 10 until 12.
Yep, Brother Yearwood, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
We're going to be speaking on the way, anything about the way. Okay, and we'll be glad if you can get on there with us. Back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Okay, appreciate it. All right, they said we got 10 seconds. So, okay, we'll talk to you there then. God bless you. We love all of you. So we'll talk to you later.
God bless.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
God bless. God bless.